What should you look for when purchasing LED displays for your worship experience? We'll talk about it today.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. I don't know about you, but I've been playing a lot with the AI technology that's been coming out of late. You might be playing with ChatGPT and what it can do with from OpenAI and how it can be used for ministry. I've been playing a lot with the AI imagery as well as ChatGPT. If you missed our bonus episode with Jason Moore and Rob Lauder, be sure to go back and check that out. We talked about AI imagery using the program Midjourney specifically and others. We also talked a little bit about ChatGPT and also Opus Clip and other AI software that are out there. Be sure to jump back and catch that episode. I will have an episode coming up where we're going to dive deep into ChatGPT with Alex Lyons from the South Carolina Baptist Convention and Ryan Frank from Kids Matter. Both of those guys have done some extensive research in using ChatGPT for ministry. So we're going to do an episode coming up with those guys, giving you some tips and tricks on how to use ChatGPT. What's the legality of this? Can we use it in ministry with no problems? Are we pulling anything illegally? Are we operating with integrity? How can it help us? How can it serve us? Be sure to check that episode with Rob and Jason out, as well as the one coming up with Alex and Ryan. This new AI stuff is kind of wild. It's moving very, very quickly, if you haven't noticed, at an alarming rate. And sometimes we got to think about, are we being responsible with it? I've watched videos on the CEOs of these companies going, if we put all this out there, are we being responsible and are we controlling it enough? Are there stop gaps and controls on this where it just doesn't get out of control? But man, if you're not paying attention, you need to be. It's moving very, very quickly, the AI technology stuff. All right. But today on the show, you don't have to be an AI pro to join us as we welcome Daniel Gourley from Five Words Media. He's here to talk about how to purchase LED walls for your church. What should your thought processes be? How much should you expect to spend on LED walls? Where should you put them in your space? All of that and more. I interviewed Daniel at CFX last year. This is the Church Facilities Expo. So you're going to see us in front of a live audience, and we take questions from the audience and things like that. So my interview with Daniel is coming right up. At 1230 Media, we are on mission with churches and ministries to help you visually communicate the gospel to your audience. We want to see the life change happen through salvation and discipleship through the local church. And one ministry that we partner with to do that is outreach. We are in the trenches with the outreach team. We go out to their headquarters in Colorado Springs once a year and do some long-range planning with them. We've had the privilege of helping them produce visuals for their annual church kit subscription. And through that, we've produced dozens of sermon kit graphics, sermon bumpers, invite videos, social media graphics and videos, countdowns, and more. And these kits go out to thousands of churches worldwide. It is an absolute privilege being on mission with Outreach. They have trusted us to produce visuals that help pastors communicate the gospel. And your visuals matter too. If you're a pastor or ministry leader with no creative team, or your team is overloaded, we can help. You can learn more at 1230media.com/custom. That's 1230media.com/custom. Hey guys, Carl Barnhill here. I'm talking with Daniel Gourley all about LED walls and how to purchase them. You're from Five Words Media.
Yep.
So tell me about a little bit about you, a little bit about the company.
Okay. Five Words Media is a company that I own. We've been in business about 10 years. We are an audio, video, lighting integrator based out of Phoenix, Arizona, Austin, and Orlando. My background, I was a worship tech pastor for about 10 years at a church called Pure Heart Church in Phoenix, Arizona. We started as a small church and we grew insanely rapidly. And during the course of that, I learned everything there is to know about building teams and designing buildings and new facilities and renovation. And by the time I was done, I'm like, this is what I want to do, except I want to do it for other churches. So
how did that move from church staff member to the company, and then how have you guys grown?
Yeah, so I wish I could say it's been like straight line and every decision I made got me exactly where I wanted to be, right, one step closer. But basically, coming out of ministry, young man in ministry, first job I worked straight out of college, was not making a ton of money, had a wife, had multiple kiddos. You can see a painted picture of like, I need to figure out something to do. So ended up leaving church ministry, stayed in the church, like Sunday after stopped, sat in a pew, watched all the work I had worked on kind of unfold with all my volunteers. And then I took a job in production, and I actually took a job where I was starting a systems department, an integration for a production company. So okay. It was really cool because I got to basically build a company for another company without my own money. So then later I did it on my own.
Right.
So it was kind of fun. I did that for about 3 or 4 years, and then I started Five Words Media.
So what are some of the pain points as you guys work with churches, ministries? Do you work with more corporate clients also, or mainly just ministry?
No, just 98% church.
So. Okay, so when you go into a church, when you're seeing them at places like this, what are some of the pain points that they're coming to you for?
Yeah, so I remember being in church ministry, and the way the pecking order was the senior pastor and the executive pastor would come to conferences like this, and then they would usually come home. Sometimes they would come home with gear that they bought off the show floor that I never asked for, and I had to like integrate into the system. Right. And then sometimes they would come back with ideas, which sometimes ideas are more dangerous than actual gear that you have to deal with. And so I just remember, you know, being in ministry as a young guy, not really having a voice and thinking about stuff. So now it's a little different. Like, one of the cool things post-COVID is like, if you're a production guy and you found yourself trying to slam together a live stream during, you know, COVID and pandemic, you actually got put in the favorites list on your pastor's iPhone. So he, you know, I had one guy say, my pastor didn't know my name before he had to sit and face me every week in live stream. So I think it's now different where I'm going to these shows and I'm seeing a lot more tech directors, a lot more production guys. So you guys get the ability to actually help inform others and make good decisions. So
we're seeing that too, definitely during pandemic, that, you know, the need for media, the need for, you know, gear, technology, you know, churches are definitely more open to that world.
Yep.
Pastors are especially, that maybe weren't as open to that world before. So let's talk LED wall specifically.
Yes.
All right. So have you seen an increase in churches installing LED walls? Is that more of a solution now than a couple years ago?
It's been a thing. I mean, we have two different factors that are happening. One is, during COVID, there are pastors that went out who were kind of against spending huge amounts in technology, who found themselves spending huge amounts in technology because of the necessity of the time. And it was a good situation because when it was spent wisely, there was a great return, right? And so we're reinforcing behavior. We're like, hey man, our stream was awful, and then we fix it and now it's great. And now we have this cycle where that's obviously kind of the preparation for where we're at currently. And then the second piece of it is that technology prices over time are completely falling and getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So LED video is exactly in that situation where we're basically sitting with a cheaper wall that we can purchase, that we can install in a church that's affordable. And the price between a really good projector and a good LED wall is not that much difference at this moment.
Right. So let's walk through that a little bit more. Maybe a couple of years ago, a few years ago, churches think I need to put in a projector. Now there's definitely a conversation between projector and LED. So if I'm debating between the two, give me some things I need to be thinking about.
Yeah. So everything has positives and everything also has negatives. So if you're a church and you're in a bright ambient lit environment, say you've got windows, you got stained glass, you got those chandeliers that Aunt Betty donated to the church 25 years ago, and they look really pretty, but they're throwing light everywhere, and you're replacing your projectors, you're probably replacing your projectors with something that has a high output. You're probably replacing your projectors with something with good lensing, good screens, all those kinds of things. If you're in that situation, you should just stop. And then you should actually start looking at an LED video display. Because what we found, and we just walked this through with a church in our booth about an hour ago, you could be spending somewhere $15,000 to $20,000 for a projector with a lens that has the output that will cut through that light. And then you could probably spend about $50,000 with the right pixel pitch, and you can get an LED video wall. So it's like you're buying two projectors at $20,000 each, or you can buy a much better image, infinite brightness almost. It's not that, but it feels like that. And you could have a better experience, and colors look better. Everything just looks better if it's done properly. So
how does the life, and we might dive into this in a few minutes, but how does the life of an LED wall compare to I'm going to be spending money on bulbs?
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
Yeah. So most projectors today are laser projectors that are being produced that are new. You can still get a lot of lamped projectors, but at its kind of end, lamped projectors were being 1,000 to 1,500 hours per lamp. Some of these lamps were $400. Some of these lamps were $900. Some of these projectors were dual lamped. So you'd have to stock two different projector lamps in there. And depending on your services, average church is replacing a lamp every 18 months. Okay. Right. So, you know, if you have two.
At what cost?
Yeah. Yeah. $900, $500.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and then you're at the point where, okay, I'm doing this every year to year and a half, or if John left the projector on, now it's every 6 months. So that's kind of that. On the LED video wall side of things, if you're purchasing a good wall, and we'll talk about that in a second, and you're purchasing good components, I have a church right now that they're sitting at year 13 or 14 with their LED wall, and they bought spares and they got extra pieces, and the company is local, so they're able to get things serviced, and that wall's ticking along, and they're now budgeting for their new wall that they're going to buy on year 15. So, you know, you're at the same level as most projectors last 7 to 10 years. Most LED walls last 10 years. If you're really good and you maintain them, you can stretch it to 14, 15
so
years.
So definitely worth the money to get those extra few years out of the life. All right. So let's say I'm a complete newbie. I'm a church looking for in this space. What do I need to be looking for?
First off, I don't think you're a newbie. I think you're pretty seasoned on the technology side of things.
But, thanks, man.
But I'm role playing, so we'll do it. So you're new. You're new. All right. What should you look for in an LED display? Okay. So I lead a class and we go through this and we're talking, and I describe something that's familiar, because LED walls are new technology for a lot of people. People that are buying them right now are buying them for the first time. So the first time you buy anything, there's a lot of questions. So what I use as an analogy is cars, right? Everybody who's here has bought a vehicle at some point, driven a vehicle. You've driven several, your family's owned them. All the cars have four wheels, steering wheel, and an engine, right? Unless you're crazy and you have like a tricycle car thing or whatever. So we all know that I can buy a car for $10,000. I can get like a Rio or something like that, and I could buy that. Or I can buy a car for $100,000. Okay, and there's differences in that car. How fast does it go? Capacity, towing, speed, torque, all that. Same thing with LED walls. Like LED walls, instead of four tires, a steering wheel, and an engine, we have the LED cabinet, which is the frame that all the LEDs are in. We have the modules themselves. We have a power supply. We have a receiving card. And we have a processor. Okay, those are all the pieces that, unless it's a very specific, unique product, they all have those pieces. So the question goes is, what's the difference between a $10,000 LED wall? What's the difference between a $100,000 LED wall?
Yeah.
And you'll find a lot of it lines up with like cars, right? So in cars, we have domestic and imports. right? We have like, who's like ever driven a GMC vehicle? You know, and I'm kind of saying things because it used to be this is made in America. Now it's made in Americas, right? Because some of these are built in like, you know, Latin America kind of thing. But you can go and you can purchase a GMC car. You have a service center in your city or in your coast or whatever. You can call somebody. They have parts. You can get parts. You can get something fixed. You can get something swapped. That's same on LED walls. LED walls, there are manufacturers that are actually based in the United States. They may manufacture 100% of everything here. They may build and assemble here. They have parts that are here. They have bins of LEDs that if you need an LED module to get fixed, you can call them 8, 10, 12 years later, get them fixed. And that costs money, right? That's built into the product. You, if you've ever run a business, you have to have that smart service guy. You have to have a shop that puts it all in. So when I hear people buying walls and they're buying something that doesn't have that in place, but it's insanely cheap, I look at it through the lens of stewardship and I'm like, these are tithe dollars. And if you're going to your church pastor and you're buying something that could be the equivalent of a house and you're buying the cheapest thing on planet Earth, and just like cars, it's a deteriorating asset the second you drive it off the lot, how can you justify that to your pastor and say, I'm making a wise decision? So so that's kind of the first conversation I have with people. So
good. Should I have both? Should I have projectors for my screen content and LED for on stage?
So the answer immediately in my soul is no. But the reality pragmatist in me is, you know, sometimes you can get a wall on stage and there's existing projection. You can't afford all three. I'm always a believer in buying the best thing and the most of it you can within your budget, right? So if I had the option where buying all three screens new, but buying cheaply versus buying a really quality center per screen and then waiting a year or two and then replacing the sides, I would do that. I know it's disappointing. I know it's really nice to get new gear day. Like everybody sees us put new gear day. You know, I know it's exciting to get 30 cases coming instead of 16. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be the one who has to maintain it. My volunteers are the ones that have to deal with it. And my senior pastor's on stage. And if he gets on stage and his microphone cuts out because I've chosen a very poor LED wall that causes interference, I have to deal with that. Or if somebody something breaks literally 4 weeks after it's installed and I had an option to choose something better, I have to deal with that.
Good. Why is, I'm going to take a step back for a second. Why is the visual aspect of worship important? Why do I need to spend money?
Right.
I mean, I can just use fluorescent. We can just be in a... Why is the visual aspect of worship important?
Yeah, so history lesson. Grew up as a Southern Baptist guy, growing up in family worship. We had bulletins. Anybody have like paper bulletins? Yeah. Then bulletins became like transparency slides, right? And the whole idea behind that was like, I'm in a room with 400 people. I don't know the words to these songs. I need to be able to know the words so I can sing with my neighbor and there's a corporate activity happening. So that's how we got video displays for live environments, right? And so now we get into this world where video has become the media and the method. It's not printed word, it's not transparencies. So we got our screens, typically they're on the left and the right. At the very base level, we have graphics going on those screens. And that's a way to unify your congregation. It's a way for the pastor to put the text up, people to read it. You know, in biblically, we talk about reading words and God, you know, basically placing them in our hearts. So that's a way to do that. And then, yes, we also are capturing live video, putting those on the screen. So that's the history of it. The trouble has been that now that the technology has gotten so good and attractive, and with an LED video wall, I can literally put something that looks amazing on my computer monitor on stage and have it amazingly represented. I can put our pastor, I go to a church called Christ Church of the Valley, and we're sitting there and Ashley, who's one of our pastors, he's teaching and he shows an image of like a location and he's got a screen behind him. He's there. Like he legitimately, you have to look and then realize with a couple of cues in the video, but he's there, and as he's describing the visual of what he's trying to portray and relating scripture to you, it is so clear that you can literally see it. So I think that's kind of how we got to where we're at with video. So
obviously it enhances worship.
Yes.
And we feel like it's worth the value to do that.
Right.
Help me understand LED displays. Are, you know, we talked about a little bit about volunteers, maintenance of that. Is it easier with LED to maintain, for my volunteers to maintain, move around on stage, put it together, disassemble, move it? Is that an easier process, or is it easier for me to just leave the projector?
Yeah, so I mean, like any technology, there's a learning curve to pieces. Some LED wall manufacturers make it easier than others. So one of the brands that we rep a lot is a company called Thor. The cool things about Thor is that there's pieces on the back that are identified by color tag, some glow in the dark, which is nice. It bolts together really quickly. The hardware that's made to support it so you can move around is from them. Some LED wall manufacturers, you have to buy truss from somebody else. You have to buy a third party thing. It may not quite fit all of those different things. So I think you have to have a pretty basic fundamental knowledge of building things, okay? YouTube University is a thing. There's so many guys during COVID that figured out how to make church work and happen. And I think you can do that with LED walls to some effect. Now, I will say, if you're flying a wall, like if you're rigging it, if you're bolting it to a surface, you should hire a company to do it. But if you're ground stacking a wall, a lot of times what we've done is we'll sell to a church, we'll do the initial setup with their volunteers and their tech directors, and then we leave, and we're 100% confident, as long as they follow the guidelines we train them on, that they can rig it, break it apart, and rebuild it.
Good. I got one more story I want you to share here in a second. But as I do, you guys be thinking of any questions or struggles that you have, and we'll kind of talk about here in a second. So you, in your workshops and your presentations, you have broken walls before.
Yes.
To kind of show the durability or the...
When you say that, it makes it sound like I pick them up and like throw them on the ground.
So walk me through that.
So basically what I do, and I think it's super pragmatic and awesome, is I take one of these panels that you can buy for like $300-$400 a panel, right? And then I take another panel, one that's in our booth, that's like $1,300 a panel. There's a net difference of $1,000 between these two panels, same size. I hook them up to the same processor. I feed them the same signal, and then I start playing with them. You know, so we're sending the same signal to the same processors. They're about the same pixel pitch. The ones we were showing, one was 2.9 millimeter, the other's 2.5 millimeter, so very slight difference. And we start turning up brightness, turning down brightness. Most people who have used an LED wall know that you never run an LED wall inside in a church at full brightness. It will literally, if you've ever been in Vegas and you go, or Times Square, and the walls cast light down the alley, like that would be the feeling in your church. So we end up taking these walls and we turn them down and we pump images through it. On a cheaper wall, the lower, darker part of the brightness range actually looks pretty awful. Color variations aren't as distinct. The gray, the blacks turn gray. There's all these weird things. We do contrast tests. We do gamma tests. We do saturation tests. And usually by the end of it, we finish our class and everybody's like, I totally see a difference now. Just like you're test driving a car, there's a big difference between a Ford Pinto and a Porsche, right?
Yeah, awesome. All right, as we close, what struggles do you have about LED? Yeah.
Buying or leasing? Okay. Yeah. So question was, you know, should you buy, should you lease? I think it depends. Okay. So talking as just a business, not even talking about the tech side of it. When you purchase something, it becomes an asset. When you lease something, it becomes a liability. So if you're in a financial position where purchasing something isn't right for you, lease every time. Okay. I would rather say lease to own. Okay. So we work with a couple of different companies that are not manufacturer leasing and financing companies. Okay. They're not sole mission is to sell you more of their stuff. We work with third party Christian financing and leasing companies, and I've only had one leasing contract ever be written up as a lease only. Because most of the time what it is it's a way for the church to experience the technology now, pay it over time, get to the point, pay that whatever balloon payment, that final payment, and then now you own the product. So I would not rent an LED display from a production company if I was renting more than 2 times a year. Okay. Reason being is when we talk about the most expensive LED walls out there, those are the ones that your production company is renting or purchasing to rent. Okay. They're purchasing something that can turn and burn 250 times in a year. You're buying all the extra hardware, all the extra connections, things like that, that, you know, you may change your church set 3 or 4 times a year, maybe. Okay. So I think if you get to a point where you're not just renting a wall for Easter or for Christmas, then you should be talking about purchase. And if you can't afford the payment all at the front, I would do a lease to own.
So. Do you guys provide both?
Yeah, we'll do both. Yeah. Rental side, we have a wall that's like a demonstration wall. Honestly, most of the time we're talking about LEDs. You guys are here. You see what an LED wall can look like in an event. Most of your board has never seen one or realized what they've been seeing when they've seen one. So we'll come set up. Sometimes we'll leave it for a weekend or if you have a special event, you know, that kind of a deal. But we don't rent in large mass because typically companies like that sell only what they rent, if that makes sense. And we like to pick what works for you. If that makes sense.
What other questions do you guys have?
Did that answer your question? Cool. Okay.
How can people stay in touch with you and find you, not here, but
digitally? Digitally. So company's name is 5 Words Media. The website is the number 5wordsmedia.com. You can find us on socials at 5 Words Media. So that's probably the easiest. If you want an email, it's sales@5wordsmedia.com. Again, we're in Phoenix, Austin, Orlando. And we'll happy to answer questions, even if we don't end up selling you something. So
awesome. So this interview, along with a lot of other training, will be on the Making Sunday Happen podcast. That's at makingsundayhappen.com and wherever you get podcasts. So thank you guys so much. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
Hey guys, I'm chatting with Ryan Sidholm. Ryan is a church planner and the pastor of River City Church in Vancouver, Washington. Ryan, welcome, man. Great to talk to you.
Hey, Carl. Thanks for having me, man.
So I wanted to kind of jump on just for a few minutes on this episode of today's show, just to let people know what you are doing at your church. We've talked a lot this year on this podcast about VR, the metaverse. What is that? We're kind of moving into AI tools. So we have metaverse going on. We have AI tools going on, a lot going on in the market and in the spaces right now. But we've done episodes with Jeff Reed and with others in the VR space or in the metaverse space. And I wanted to let people know that you guys are doing something very interesting at your church. You're doing a mission trip to the metaverse. You guys are doing this in August of this year. So tell me kind of how this started and what all you guys are doing.
Yeah, so it started with basically, I heard all these things about how the metaverse was a real mission field and how there is people, you know, that really need Jesus on there. And so I rung up Jeff Reed one day and I just told him, I said, hey, if this is a real mission field with people with real needs, then why aren't churches like mine, which is a brick and mortar, you know, kind of more traditional church, why aren't we taking mission trips to the metaverse? And Jeff Reed kind of looked at me like he just kind of like, wow, like I've never even thought of that. So we started running with this idea, mission trip to the metaverse. So that's how it started.
So, man, that's awesome. And I want to kind of drill into several specifics of what you guys are doing. But for people who don't know, or are new to this, they can go back and listen to other episodes that we've done. But this does require a VR headset, and you guys are setting it up where I can pay for it. There is a fee, and I can pay for it where it includes a headset if I don't have one, and then kind of an option if I already have a headset, right?
So basically, the idea is the cost. The VR headset is basically your airfare, if you will. That's the cost to get you to the mission trip, and so that's about $400. And so what we're saying is this mission trip costs a headset plus $150. And so, you know, if you don't already own your headset, we'll help you get one. But then 150, you know, consider that on the ground costs for the framework and stuff that we'll be, you know, doing during the trip.
So what is that money going towards? So obviously the 400 goes to my headset. What is that? And you walked it out a little bit, but what does that other $150 go to?
Yeah, so there's actually going to be a lot of training that leads up to this. And so we're going to, you know, teach people how to use the headset, how to enter the metaverse, that kind of stuff. And some people may already be familiar with that. But then we're going to be talking a lot about how to share Jesus online. And we're going to be doing regular check-ins and encouragement and equipping and that kind of stuff. And so basically, we're just paying people for their time. Some experts, some on the ground, if you will, experts. It's weird saying on the ground in the metaverse.
Yeah.
But some on the ground, some experts that are going to help us walk through this thing. And so basically, we're just paying for a month's worth of their time to check in with us.
So is it a 1 day thing or like a week thing, or, you know, are we all going in at once to a specific world? You know, are we all going to VR chat at the same time? Tell me, walk out the details of that.
Yeah. So in a typical mission trip, and I used the example recently of Bolivia on a recent podcast. So say we go on a mission trip to Bolivia. You're in Bolivia for 24/7 from the time you touch down to the time you leave. And if we were to stay in the metaverse for 24/7 for any period of time, I think that would really not be great. And so what we're doing instead is we're making this a month long mission trip where we're challenging the participants to put 5 to 10 hours per week into the metaverse and being extra intentional. And so, so what we're going to do is we're not going to be there all at the same time. There's a word that's new to me, at least, that's asynchronous. It's a big fancy word that means not at the same time. And that's really cool because since we're doing this asynchronous in different times, different hours, this actually opens it up so that people across time zones can be able to participate with us. So we actually have one participant signed up in France already and one participant from Kyrgyzstan signed up to do this with us. And so they're going to be able to do it asynchronous. And basically, we're just going to check in on a weekly basis and figure out like, hey, how are things going? How can we encourage you? But we're going to encourage them to go in pairs, but that might not always be the case. And so let's say there's 50 people that go on this trip. There's not going to be 50 people, you know, coming down to the metaverse at the same time. It's just going to be, hey, when do you have time? When can you invest an extra hour or two today in the metaverse?
So I'm going to get really specific here.
Yeah.
They're different now with the, there was an app that just went away, a world that went away. You want to talk about that? And then maybe the apps that you guys are going into, like, are you going into VR chat, Meta Horizons? What are what's the app that went away? And then what are the apps that you're going into?
Yeah, I'm blanking on the name of the app that just went away. Cause I haven't really thought about it for a minute, but I remember seeing that. So obviously we're not going to the app that went away. So we're going to be utilizing Rec Room, especially for some teenagers that are going to be involved in the trip. We have a teenager up. And so we're down in Vancouver, Washington, which is Southwest Washington. We have somebody up, a teenager up in Seattle that signed up to go with us. And so Rec Room is going to be great for that individual. Some of our participants are going to be engaging in VR chat, which is, you know, more of a kind of an, you know, I would recommend more of adults to be in that space. Obviously, Meta Horizons is going to be great. There's a new one that just got released, and I'm blanking on the name of that one as well. But
yeah,
we're going to be exploring that. But the idea is, which world is the best fit for you as you share the gospel? Because, you know, as we think about in our personal lives, we all hang out in different circles. And so we want to find which circle or which world is best for each individual. Because, you know, there's going to be some people that even just, you know, we talk about Rec Room, that might not be the best match for some individuals that are going on this trip.
Right. So Alt Space VR, I was blanking on it there for a second.
Yeah, there you go.
Alt Space VR was the space that really was kind of the most popular, one of the most popular spaces for interaction in the metaverse. But for multiple reasons they are non-existent anymore. And then, yeah, Meta Horizons and Rec Room are more friendly. There are more boundaries in those worlds. VR Chat is kind of known as the Wild Wild West,
yeah,
a little bit. It's a little more the red light district, right, as our buddy Jeff Reed and others kind of call it, reference to it. Okay, so how is your church responding to this? Are they, how did you present it to them, and what has kind of been their response to you doing?
You know, it's funny because, you know, we kind of announced this on the internet, not announced, but we kind of built some stuff out to get ready for the announcement. And Relevant Magazine actually picked up, they saw our website, they picked it up. And so it was published on Relevant Magazine before we ever announced it to our church. And so that's so that's pretty funny. And so I actually just, you know, I'm not sure when this podcast is going to air, but we just announced it to our church yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And so, and the people were just like, oh, wow, that's crazy. That's awesome. That's a unique idea. And
I've already
and
read so, that in Relevant Magazine.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
And so we really haven't, you know, I've had a few people be like, man, that's awesome. I want to do that. But like, there hasn't been enough time yet to determine how the church is reacting to it. But we're a young church plant. We were 10 months old when the pandemic hit. So we're small. We're a small young church plant in the Pacific Northwest. But as far as after the Relevant Magazine episode, the buzz has been incredible. We've had people, like I said, from France, Kyrgyzstan, Ohio, Georgia, Seattle, people, all these people that are like, hey, I'm in for this, and I might even bring a group. So that's cool.
That's awesome, man. So I'm going to ask you a couple of fun questions before I close this out.
These are all fun, Carl.
There you go. But this is going to be good. All right. So how long have you been in VR? How long have you had a headset?
A year and a half.
Okay. So what are the funnest games? Let's go entertainment for a second. What are some of the funnest games that you're playing in VR right now?
Yeah, the entire reason that I bought a VR headset was, so I travel a lot. As a church planter, we you know, I travel a lot to ask for support for what we're doing. And so that's why I bought a VR headset, was to connect with my wife while I'm traveling. And so our favorite thing to do is while I'm traveling, is to do walkabout mini golf. And so I don't know if you've done that one yet, but we do a private golf game, a mini golf game, and it's just me and her, and we're able to see each other's avatars and talk and catch up while we play 18 holes of mini golf. And so it's awesome. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Do you have a good travel case for the headset?
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah.
All right. So are you a Beat Saber fan? You do Beat Saber that much?
I've never done it. I don't even own it, but it's okay. But I
there's your homework. Like, you got to go do some Beat Saber.
All right,
you got to do Beat Saber, and there's a way that you can do custom songs in Beat Saber also too. So you know, if you're a Journey fan, a little Don't Stop Believing action. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there you go. And have you done the Star Wars Immortal series yet?
I have not,
dude. It will change your life. I'm telling you. So I am a 40-year-old man, and to see Darth Vader in real, you know, in the reality, virtual reality space, walk up to me and, you know, breathe on me. You know, I'm like, not gonna lie. That's a little scary. But you got to do Star Wars Immortal. There's your homework for today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Beat Saber and Star Wars Immortal. All right. So, you mentioned the time commitment. You're asking for about 5 hours a week or so in the month of August, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're all going to converge in the month of August. All right. So last question for you. How can we be praying for you guys? What are you guys praying for that will happen?
Yeah. You know, like, let's talk mission trips, period. You never want to bring a group to a place and just be tourists, right? That's not what mission trips are about, but we've all maybe have a horror story of where we're part of a group and we just turn into tourists, and we do more damage than we do good. And so we don't want to be a bunch of people that just, you know, drop into the metaverse and be tourists and just, you know, just walk around, you know, with the fan, with our VR fanny packs or whatever.
Good analogy.
So we want to be, to actually make an impact where we are. And so we're praying that the participants will actually take this seriously. We don't want this to be just like a game. It's so that they would take this process seriously as we engage others, that we would be able to have good conversations, and that we would be able to deal with the trolls well, because that's going to be inevitable. We're going to be dealing with some trolls, but just so that basically that we aren't wasting time with trolls, but we're able to actually share Jesus with people who are really seeking the truth. So that's our prayer request.
Good. And how can I get involved? If I'm interested, how can I get involved and join you guys?
Yeah. So there's two routes. If you're an individual that wants to hang out with us for this mission trip, then go to our website, which is rivercityvancouver.com/meta. rivercityvancouver.com/meta. And you can sign up for this and you can go as an individual. And one of the things we're saying is, if you are a church leader or an organization that wants to lead your group to do something similar to this, then we're pointing to Jeff Reed and some of the resources that he offers at Digital Church. And I'm not going to say the website because I'll butcher it. I don't even know exactly what it is, .com, .org. I don't know. But if you could post that in the show notes, yeah, maybe that would be cool.
Digital.church. The digital.
Yeah,
church,
there you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So individuals, rivercityvancouver.com/meta. Churches or groups that want to do it, I want to point you towards the church.digital. But we'd love to have everybody. You know, one of the cool things, let me just drop this real quick. Yeah. You know, we've had a few people that are either immunocompromised or, you know, maybe we actually had an individual that was wheelchair bound who said, I've always wanted to do a mission trip, but I've been unable to because of my chair. Mm-hmm. Well, not only does this transcend time zones, but this trip transcends physical abilities.
Yeah.
And so we really want this to be accessible to all.
My first time in the metaverse in a more community driven, not really a game. I met an 80-year-old man who was a previous military guy, believer, and like a chaplain in the military. And he took me to like a portal where he had things. It was like, you know, space, but pictures hanging in space of his family. And then a camera on him, and he actually lifted his headset and, like, you know, waved at me. And so I met he wasn't bedridden, but he was chair-bound 80-year-old ex-chaplain in the military that was ministering to people all over the world.
That's incredible.
Right from his recliner.
That's incredible.
And for people who want to dismiss this quickly as like, oh, just some, you know, the gamers, whatever. Like, I don't want us to do that as so quickly, because, I mean, there are people that are searching, mm-hmm. and this is a way that we can reach them that probably may or may not never darken the door to a brick and mortar location, or at least at first, mm-hmm. you know, they might not come and visit, but they would start a conversation. It could lead to other things. And there's been some incredible stories of baptisms and physical spaces, things like that, that came from relationships in the metaverse. So
yeah,
incredible. Well, man, I believe in what you're doing. Thank you for stepping in and doing it. Thank you for kind of being a guinea pig in a way. I mean, you guys are really stepping into some unknown territory to try to do this and bring not only your church, but other believers along who want to get involved. So I commend you, and man, way to go. And thanks for coming on. Really appreciate you sharing this opportunity with us.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me. Thanks.
Hey guys, as we close today, right before we close, I wanted to share a 5 questions segment that we did with Pastor Justin Kendrick just a few months back. We do these 5 questions just to lighten the mood, just to have some fun with our guests. So sometimes the questions have to do with them. Sometimes it's random. Sometimes I just want to pick their brain on stuff. So I'm going to share one with you that we did with pastor and author Justin Kendrick. Check this out. What is one thing Christians could do this week that would help them live in community with each other better? One practical thing.
Yeah, one practical thing. Set aside 1 hour to meet with a friend and don't talk about yourself. Just learn what's going on in their life.
Good. What is one thing in the church right now that you're seeing that is really disappointing, really sad?
Yeah, I would say it's a lack of biblical foundation around the theology of us, that we think we're individuals and we don't realize that we're actually ripping a body apart. And so I would say, yeah, just we got to grow up here. We got to learn this.
All right, let me flip that on you. What's one thing that you're seeing in the church that really excites and encourages you right now?
I think there is a real hunger to change. I think that people are actually really open to change and open to developing deeper relationships, because I think we've all come to the point, and COVID pressed this on us, that we don't really know how to do this and we need to learn.
Good. What was the biggest hurdle that Vox Church had to overcome when expanding from a single campus to multi-site?
Oh boy, that's a loaded question. How do I open that one quick? So we were stupid. We planted our second location 13 months after we planted our church, and we did it with no money and no staff, and somehow God blessed it. So I think for us, it wasn't the first one that was so hard. It was allowing our infrastructure to catch up. So we had probably 5 locations before we really started building out the infrastructure to handle those locations. And so honestly, 7, 8, 9 were all pretty seamless because the infrastructure was built, but we invested a lot in reaching people and not a lot in building the back end. And I wish I did that differently.
So both are important.
Yeah, can't go one without the other.
All right, last one. Folks are leaving ministry at an alarming rate. I think Fox News just did a story of like massive exodus in Christianity. So how would you convince a young man or woman to go into the ministry? Convince me of the why.
Yeah, you know, well, that's kind of a trick question, only because I think that the Holy Spirit needs to convince you of the why. And so I would say that ultimately you've got, I almost try to convince people out of the ministry, and in the sense that I would say, listen, if you don't feel a clear call from God, then go be faithful and do something else, because this is war. It is going to be hard. But I also think that people want to do something hard with their lives, not on the surface, but deep down, we want to do something hard. And I would say that it is a sacred privilege to shepherd people into eternity. And although it will be very, very hard, and I don't cut corners about that. You know, I'm 20 years into full-time ministry, and it will be worth it if you do it with some people you love.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not for the faint of heart, definitely. It is totally war. I'm right there with you. Been in for a long time, and the spiritual aspect of ministry is unlike anything. I mean, you know, you can go get a secular job. I work Chick-fil-A and a bunch of, marketing for Chick-fil-A and a bunch of other things. And the spiritual aspect of what we do in ministry is just so different.
Yeah, demons will become real to you. You know, they might be theory, and then you start ministry and you go, what is going on? Well,
right.
The spiritual warfare. Yeah,
exactly. All right. The Sacred Us is the book. Tell me where I can go get it. How can I stay connected with you guys?
Yeah, for sure. The best place is thesacredus.com, thesacredus.com. There's a free 9-week small group study on there. You can download it for free. A bunch of videos of the things that you can check out there as well. And of course, you can buy the book there. But Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you want to buy books, you can do that. I would love people to check it out. And if they do read it, to review it. That's always a gift. If you take the time to review it, is really a blessing to me. Helps people really get a sense for the book. And those are the best places. VoxChurch.org, V-O-X, VoxChurch.org. We got a ton of resources there as well.
Where did Vox come from, the name?
Yeah, John 5:25. It just came from this idea that we think that the church needs to be a voice and in the community. And that's what Vox means. It's just simply a voice in Latin. But in John 5:25, Jesus says that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. So that's what inspired the name.
Awesome. Well, man, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Carl.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
Well, hey, guys, thanks so much for hanging out this week. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on YouTube or Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And please take a moment to share the show on social media and talk with us. Feel free to reach out with questions, comments. If you want to see a guest on the show that we haven't had on before, feel free to email me directly. My email is carl@1230.media. That's all spelled out, carl@1230.media. Or you can find the show online at makingsundayhappen.com. If you go to that URL, makingsundayhappen.com, you'll find over 400 shows that we've done, all types of guests from artists to pastors, tech guys, content providers, and a slew of people from communication space to production space. Over 400 plus episodes there. We've done 400 kind of regular episodes and then some bonus episodes sprinkled in there. So makingsundayhappen.com is where to go. All right, next week on the show, I'll welcome my friend Katie Allred. We're going to be chatting about her new book, Church Communications. This book has been out a few months, but I've just now kind of got her on the show to come back, and we really take a deep dive into church communications and why you need a strategy to go after people so that they can come and interact with your church. So it's going to be fun. Katie Allred on next week. We'll go out there and create some incredible worship experiences at your church this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit makingsundayhappen.com.